This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Welcome to the TriDot Podcast. Really cool episode today where we will hear 10 tri training tips from 10 different TriDot coaches. I reached out to 10 of our coaches who are not usually on the podcast and challenged them to send me a training tip that maybe isn't commonly talked about, something next level per se, something that they tell their own coached athletes that they don't think an athlete would necessarily hear emphasized anywhere else. So I am amped to hear what they've come up with. We're going to listen to their pre-recorded tips, and then a few of us here on the show will reflect on what they shared. Joining us for this is TriDot Media contributor Vanessa Ronksley. Vanessa has been a TriDot ambassador since 2020 and has a background in education. She works for the University of Calgary as a project manager. She's from Calgary, Canada originally, but is currently living in Sydney, Australia with her family. She contributes to TriDot Media as Vanessa, the average triathlete with elite level enthusiasm. Vanessa, thanks for joining me for the full episode today.
Thanks, Andrew. This sounds like a super fun podcast, and I'm really pumped to be here and chat about these training tips.
Also with us is TriDot coach Jeff Rains. Jeff is a USAT Level 2 and Ironman U certified coach who has a Master of Science in Exercise Physiology and was a D1 collegiate runner. He has over 50 Ironman event finishes to his credit and has coached hundreds of athletes to the Ironman finish line. Hey there, Jeff.
What's up, Andrew? I'm ready for another next level podcast. Also, it's my first official podcast with Vanessa. Like you said just a second ago, it's her first full episode, and I am super pumped that I get to experience it with her.
I'm Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we'll roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our main set topic, and then wind things down with Vanessa and I both sticking around for the cool down. Before we get too deep into the show today, I want to give a shout out to our good friends at UCAN. Here at TriDot, we are huge believers in using UCAN to fuel our training and racing. In the crowded field of nutrition companies, what separates UCAN from the pack is the science behind Live Steady, the key ingredient in UCAN products. While most energy powders are filled with sugar or stimulants that cause a spike and crash, UCAN energy powders powered by Live Steady deliver a steady release of complex carbs to give you stable blood sugar and provide long-lasting energy. I personally fuel many of my workouts with the orange-flavored Edge Gel and the unflavored UCAN Energy. Between their energy mix, energy bars, almond butter, and more, there is definitely a Live Steady product that you will love. So head to their website, UCAN.co, and use the code TRIDOT to save 20% on your entire order. That's UCAN.co, promo code TRIDOT.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
Riding a tandem bike offers a similar but different experience from riding a standard solo bike, allowing you to share the effort and share the fun with a fellow cyclist. For our warm-up question today, if you were going for a ride on a tandem bike and could choose anyone and anywhere to share the experience with, who are you riding with and where are you cycling? Vanessa.
Well, I have actually ridden a tandem bike with my husband, PJ, and we had so much fun. It was really, really, we had a really great time. But he wanted to be the captain and I like to be in control. So I'm not choosing him. I'm going to choose my son, Ethan, and my daughter, Eliana. They actually make these triplet bikes for three riders. I had to look it up. But
really?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I included both my kids because they both really like riding their bikes just as much as I do. And so I would take them to New Zealand and I can just picture us riding all day long through the hills dotted with tiny little sheep. And of course, next to the ocean. And obviously we'd be stopping at all the bakeries along the way. And I've dreamed of doing a family bike ride around New Zealand. So this would be perfect for the three of us. And obviously PJ can come too. And he will be the designated pack horse and he can carry all our stuff. I'll carry the kids on the back of the bike and he can carry all our stuff.
Yeah, let him ride solo. Let him be the captain of his own bike. And he just has all the packs and all the gear and all the food and all the snacks.
Exactly.
Jeff Rains, what is this answer for you? Tandem bike? Where are you riding? Who are you riding with?
Yeah, a lot of this depends, like, who's Maverick and who's Goose. It depends kind of what Vanessa said, right? Whoever's going to lead. But actually, you got me thinking, Vanessa. I'm actually a triplet. And I've got a brother and a sister. And if it was a three-person bike, then I have to say my triplet siblings and I on a bike, right? I've actually dreamed of the day where the three of us do a triathlon relay together. My sister's actually an endurance athlete, and she's done multiple Ironmans, but not my brother. He's the one that we really got to convince and get him in there. But that would be super cool if the three of us did a try. But my true answer has got to be my wife and I. Our best times, our best memories, and our favorite things to do is train and race together. We actually did our first Ironman together, hip to hip. You know, obviously we leapfrogged the bike and legal drafted the bike. But it's been like 7 years because we have a 2, 4, and a 6-year-old. So we haven't got to do that in years. And so I would love to do an Ironman or maybe half with her, and we do the bike together on a tandem. That would just be awesome. And it'd have to be overseas. I think Challenge Roth. Challenge Roth would be awesome to ride a tandem. And
it sounds like Andrew might be joining you at that race. Isn't that his dream?
You're going to start.
Right. That's his next goal.
Y'all are just trying to start rumors and Tried Out Nation is what's happening here. So maybe one day eventually. It's not on the plans yet, that's for sure. My answer here, it's interesting. All three of us are really leaning towards family for this activity. And for me, my answer is my wife, Morgan. Morgan is not a cyclist, but she is very adventurous. I would want to take her on a tandem bike around the loop that we did at Tried Out Ambassador Camp in St. George, where we go through Snow Canyon, up the climb at the end of Snow Canyon, and then back around to the resort where we stayed. Beautiful loop, beautiful scenery. There's no loop like that one in the world. I've been to St. George now 3 different times on behalf of TriDot and have not been able to take Morgan with me. I would love for her to see the scenery there in southern Utah. It's the coolest town. It's a beautiful town. So just to take her there and have a nice dinner in St. George and take her on a tandem bike through Snow Canyon and up the famous Snow Canyon climb would be just a really cool way to share my love of cycling with her. And I think she would enjoy that particular loop. So that's my answer here. We're going to throw this out to our TriDot audience like we always do. Make sure you are a member of the I Am TriDot Facebook group. We have triathletes just talking swim, bike, and run every single day of the week in that Facebook group. And so find the post asking you if you were going out on a tandem bike ride, who would you want to ride with and where would you go?
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
There is an absurd amount of multi-sport wisdom in the TriDot coaching family. And I don't know if you all realize it, but at the moment that we're recording this podcast, I mean, there are close to 100 active TriDot coaches all over the world. Some are full-time on our staff. Some are full-time triathlon coaches. But they're just independent and have their own coaching company. Some are pro triathletes. Some are part-time coaches with another job of some sort. Some are TriDot ambassadors that just wanted to give back to the tri community with their knowledge of TriDot and triathlon. So with this podcast, we intentionally keep kind of the circle of voices that you hear a little tighter without being able to see us chatting week to week. I just want to kind of keep some form of familiarity with the voices that you hear. I'm really excited as we launch the TriDot Triathlon YouTube show here in just a few weeks that we'll be able to bring more coaches on so you can meet them and you can see them and you can learn from their expertise. But today on the podcast, we're going to get a little glimpse of what wisdom our coaches have to offer. We'll hear 10 different TriDot coaches give us a next level tri training tip. And then Vanessa, Jeff, and I will discuss what each of them have to say. So, Vanessa, Jeff, we have never done something like this on the podcast before. What are you two hoping to hear today from the coaches that we've invited to share?
I'm hoping to hear some little gold nuggets of information that I can use in my own training, because some days I feel like I need all the help that I can get, that's for sure. I think that I'm actually going to write them down and pull one out of a pile before each week of training and then have that be the intention for the week. Doesn't that sound fun?
It does sound. It sounds fun. It sounds productive. It sounds very Vanessa. I love it. Maybe some other people will jump on that bandwagon and do that as well. Jeff Rains, what are you hoping to get out of this experience?
Well, first of all, Vanessa's answer was next level, and she gets cool points and bonus points and teacher's pet points for that answer. That is super awesome. me personally, I'm hoping to hear some of the things that we tend to maybe purposely ignore, maybe even some of the things that are uncomfortable to hear and uncomfortable to actually implement or do, you know, in our day to day. There's so many things that we know we should do, but we kind of tend to ignore or touch on it a little bit and move on, and not just super really dive into. So I guess you could say that I want to feel uncomfortable today, Andrew.
Yeah, let's see if our coaches stretch you, Jeff, and stretch Vanessa and I and our athletes listening out of our comfort zones. Let's get rolling and see what our coaches have to say. So tip number one, this comes to us from TriDoc coach Matt Summer. Matt is the fitness director at Alamance Country Club in Burlington, North Carolina. He's been coaching with TriDoc since 2018. Let's hear what training tip Coach Matt has for us.
Hi, this is Coach Matt Summer with a Next Level Tri training tip for you. One thing I'm constantly having to remind my athletes is that we need to embrace our recovery with as much zeal and effort as we do our training sessions. All too often, we get done a training session, we have to rush off to the next thing. That does not put us in position for success for future training sessions. I like to remind my athletes that it's important that we take about 5 to 10 minutes after all sessions to focus on recovery. That could look like static or dynamic stretching, percussion massage, Normatex, an ice bath, or a multitude of other things. And it doesn't stop there. One thing I also like to remind them is that we need to make sure we're getting adequate sleep and nutrition. That's the ultimate recovery. Now, if you have access to other tools such as Normatec recovery boots, dry needling, massage, those can all also assist and facilitate appropriate recovery. I also like to remind all my athletes that it's important that we listen to the body when it whispers so it doesn't have to yell at us. I know that sounds pretty simple, but all too often we find ourselves not listening to our body. Sometimes you need to listen. First thing in the morning, if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not going to get better throughout the day. So maybe take that as a cue that we need to either regress a training session intensity or even shorten the intensity or duration of a training session, or even have to skip that training session. Well, one thing I've learned over the years is that listen to your body.
So Matt was getting all up in my business on this one, because I am very slow to miss a workout. Like when I'm really in that training rhythm, I hate missing a run. I hate missing a bike. I'm pretty good about going down to the pool, and I'm very quick to talk myself out of spending those 20 minutes upstairs just doing some stretching, or spending those 30 minutes doing strength work on a Tuesday, you know, after a bike session or whatever. And Matt, just that mindset of the other stuff, the recovery stuff, the strength stuff, all of that supports the fun stuff. It's not necessarily fun to go lay on a floor for 30 minutes and do some stretching. It's fun to go out my front door and go for a run, but that 30 minute stretching session supports the 30 minute stuff that I want to do. And my body is a body that if I don't stay on top of my recovery, like Matt is reminding us too, if I don't stay intentional with it, my body will very quickly start whispering at me, "Hey, we got some tightness, we got some problems." And that whispering will turn into yelling, just like what Matt's talking about, if I don't address it. And so Matt is up in my grill with this reminder straight at the top of the episode. So good stuff from Matt. It's good to stay on top of the other stuff, stay on top of the recovery, and be as mindful with the recovery as we are with the training itself. Vanessa, what did you get here listening to Matt?
Before I started doing triathlon, I had very set hours that I would complete workouts and training. in other sports. And the recovery was completely built into that time. Like it would be dedicated, you know, by a coach and say, hey, this the next 20 minutes, you're going to be stretching and doing whatever. And it was also a very social aspect of training, which is something that you don't get when you're training on your own all the time. So it was definitely the first thing that I cut from all of my training sessions. And for the first, you know, few years of my triathlon life, I was battling injury after injury, and it was this cyclical pattern. And it was clearly...
You're like, why can't I stay healthy?
Right? Yeah, exactly. I would, you know, get injured. I'd go to physio. I'd rehab. I would be fine for about 6 weeks, and then I'd get injured and go to physio and rehab. And it was ultimately because I was not recovering properly, and I had some body imbalances that needed to be sorted out. So this definitely is... an amazing concept. I love what he said. I'm going to have to break down everything that he did say into about 5 different weeks of little notes for myself, because there was so many pieces of information that one could focus on in there. There's like 10 weeks worth of training intention, which is totally awesome.
Well, buckle up, Vanessa, because that was next level tri-training tip number 1, and we've got 9 more to go. So here is number 2. That was great stuff from Matt. We're moving on to Coach Brandy Ramirez from Kingman, Arizona. She's the president and CEO of She Strong Incorporated and is the race director for the Monarch Triathlon Super Half. She's been coaching with TriDot since 2020 and has already become a great member of the community. Here is what Coach Brandy has to say.
Hi, this is Coach Brandy, and my tip for you is to be kind to yourself. Maybe in your workout yesterday, you didn't feel strong. Maybe you cannot hold that zone 4 for the scheduled time, or your threshold felt weak. Maybe you could not even get your workout in because, well, life happened. Whether it was work or your spouse, your kids, whatever the reason, at the end of the day, there was just no time left to train. This happens, and in that moment, you need to be kind to yourself. Do not try and double up your next training. Do not beat yourself up over it. And do not stress out over it. Leave it in the past where it belongs. Today is a new day, a day to make gains and improve. We all have that voice inside, and most times that voice is pretty destructive. Change that voice. The brain is a powerful tool. Positive thoughts and continued positive reinforcement will turn into positive output. So be kind to yourself.
Vanessa, what do you think about Coach Brandy reminding us to be kind to ourselves?
I think Coach Brandy needs to make that a meditation and post it on YouTube, because everything she said was like, yes, I've done that. I do that. I do that. I do that. And I'm in a place right now in my training where I'm really struggling on the bike, and I do all of those things. I'm not hitting my zone 4 for the duration of the period of time. I have to stop during my bikes to catch my breath and to have my legs stop screaming at me. And one of the things that I have not been doing is being, you know, being kind to myself. So I think that's a really impactful statement that she is saying, and something that definitely most people, I think, in triathlon can work on, because we all like to perform our best at all times. Kind of goes hand in hand with that type A personality.
Sure.
So I think that's very powerful and something that I'm definitely going to need to work at and to be mindful of.
So when I was listening to Brandy, like you said, Vanessa, triathletes typically are very driven people, right? We set goals, we have races in the calendar, we have certain swim, bike, and run dots or certain paces and thresholds we want to get to. And sometimes within that, we can be very hard on ourselves, and we can make it very difficult on ourselves to process a day where it didn't go to plan, or a session that didn't necessarily go how I wanted to. And I thought back to my days as a competitive tennis player listening to Brandy, because one lesson that I always took out of growing up playing tennis is you have to have a short memory. In tennis, I mean, at every point, you play a point, you can lose the point, you can totally whiff on a shot, you can totally just miss a shot. The opponent can play better than you within that point. But as soon as that point's over, you go back to the service line and you start a new point. And if your head is still dwelling on what happened in the point that just happened, that's only going to negatively impact you on the next point. And so you got to put whatever happened in that point to the side and move on to the next one. And if you lose a game, great. There's another game about to start, and you gotta be in the moment. You gotta be in the point that you're playing right now. And it's kind of that way with our triathlon training. You have to be in the session that you're in right now. And guess what? If a certain run session doesn't go according to plan, you just don't nail it. Or Vanessa, what you're talking about, I have a bike session where I'm just, man, my legs just didn't have the juice they needed today. Cool. Like learn from it, but don't dwell on it. Move on to the next day, move on to the next workout, and give your body, be kind to yourself, like Brandy suggests, and give yourself a chance to write it tomorrow and to make up for it tomorrow. And I thought of that many times as Brandy was talking there. Going to Vanessa's coach, this is Coach Ryan Tibble for tip number three. Ryan is from Keller, Texas, and is a respiratory therapist by trade. He was a guest on podcast episode 48 that was called O2, VO2, and You, Improving Respiratory Fitness for Better Health and Performance. Ryan has been coaching with TriDot since 2015. Here is his next level Tri training tip.
Hey, TriDot family. I'm Ryan Tibble, TriDot business coach and triathlon coach. And today I want to talk about mobility as it pertains to, especially in your training. As triathletes, we are those that can be really stuck in seated positions at work, and then on top of that, we're on our tri bikes, et cetera. And so a lot of times what we ignore are our adductors, to be specific, the inside of your thighs. Something I really focus on with my triathletes is I have them really get honed in on those, the inside of their thighs, those adductors, because what those are doing right there, those adductors are very strong, very engaged throughout your cycling mechanics as well as your running mechanics. And so what happens if those get tight, then your IT bands on the other side are affected, especially the lateral side of your quads, et cetera. And so you look at the opposite side, which is those inside of those thighs. So starting off with a foam roller is a good time to start working on those adductors, getting them used to that pressure that you may be putting on them to, again, increase the flexibility and mobility of those muscles. Then you can move on from that to using PVC pipe. It's a little bit harder, but again, a little bit more aggressive. And so as you progress forward in your journey and your mobility, those get better. Along with that, you know, with working on the mobility of your adductors can improve your hip mobility, which is another big, big thing that we use as movers in the sport of triathlon. Activating the glute medius in particular, a smaller muscle in that glute area, but doing dynamic glute medius type stretching routines prior to your running, prior to your biking, even prior to swimming. Again, these are so important. It's such a big hip stability type muscle that, again, I do really emphasize this as arguably could be one of the fourth disciplines of our sport, or even fifth discipline of the sport, if you'd say. So again, one of those things, work on those mobility of the adductors, work on the mobility of your glute medius. And it's something that, again, if you do a regular, consistent routine of this, you will start to notice the improvements in your discipline specifically.
So Coach Ryan, getting real sciency there with the biology of some key spots on the human body, encouraging us to work on our mobility. Coach Jeff, what'd you think here?
I immediately thought back to Dr. BJ Leeper and that podcast episode, kind of where he was really honing in on the difference between mobility and stability, and what those are, how they're differentiated, and how people kind of misconceptionalize those. And you know, Ryan is absolutely right in that mobility, it should be that fifth or sixth, you know, aspect of our sport. Swim, bike, and run. We got nutrition, we got strength, and then we have mobility even. So call it six there. But if the strength isn't there, you know, most likely the mobility isn't. But more importantly, the mobility kind of needs to be there before you start trying to add stability, you know, or strength around that, so to speak. And so the first things to go are our hip flexors, the adductors, abductors, and the glutes, right? In triathletes especially, everything is kind of that sagittal plane, right, that we've talked about before. You know, swimming, your legs kind of go up and down, right? Biking, they're up and down, kind of in that two-dimensional plane, so to speak. And running is the same. And so anything that provides that kind of lift and or side-to-side movement would use those hip flexors, glutes, adductors, abductor positions. And first, we've got to have the mobility, the range of motion. We've got to wake that up. We've got to really hone in on that. And then we want to build strength around that. And that's muscular endurance. And by the time we get off the bike and we still have a big run to do, we're going into that run session, that run race, that run portion, kind of trashed, kind of beat up, a little bit tight, tired, and we still have the big and arguably hardest effort to go. And the first things to go is the mobility and the range of motion. The hip flexors get tight, we lose the knee drive. So now we don't travel as far in each step that we take. And the human body has to compensate. And it kind of subconsciously does that, especially mid-race. The last thing you're thinking about is, did I lose 2 millimeters on my knee drive because I have a weak left glute, and the left glute means the opposite right side hip drop, and I'm losing,
I think that word,
you know,
for
2
word.
Millimeters,
yep.
Per stride.
Yep, absolutely.
It's crazy.
No, but Jeff, it's really funny. Like ever since I heard you point that out, that's the part of the leg that starts giving out first in a race. There's always a point every single race, particularly half Ironman and above, where I feel that muscle start going and I'm like, oh, there it is. Jeff told me this was coming. There it goes. But I just love the way Ryan pointed out right at the end of that tip. He mentioned how this doesn't have to, improving your mobility, improving your stability, it doesn't have to be something that takes you a ton of time. It doesn't have to be something that is super intensive. A few key movements that you do consistently throughout your workout week for just a little bit of time can go a long, long way. And that's certainly been the case for me whenever I do actually do my homework here and do the moves that I'm supposed to. You'll find within a matter of weeks, man, it really makes a big difference in how your body feels in your workouts if you add some mobility and some stability into your routine. Moving on to tip number four, this is from TriDot coach Kurt Madden. Kurt has made a few appearances on the podcast. He's a legend of the sport who's been racing since the late 70s and coaching with TriDot since 2018. We've heard a ton of wisdom from Kurt on the podcast, but I'm excited to hear what his next level try tip is. Let's check it out.
This is Coach Madden, and I wanted to give all of our listeners a few next level try training tips. You know, over the years, I've learned and I've embraced the mantra of Kaizen. And Kaizen simply means continuous improvement in small sequential steps. And what I like about Kaizen is it can be applied to any aspect of your life. You know, the next time you go into Trader Joe's, which is one of my favorite stores, you really want to keep that in your back pocket. So you're cruising through the store, you go to the checkout. Typically, the person at the checkout, the register, will ask you, did you find everything? And you might want to share, you know, I did. Wait just a minute. You know, the one thing I couldn't find was Kaizen. And I would only predict that you're going to get an immediate response because at Trader Joe's, what they've done is they've embraced Kaizen as one of their core values. And as we transition, really, as you look at where you are right now in your journey as a triathlete, remember just a couple of things that, you know, what I wanted to share is that, the Kaizen mantra, it will really give you much more meaning. It'll elevate your engagement level for all of your training sessions, especially as you're doing your warm-up drills and your cool-down drills. The next thing is the Kaizen mantra will allow you to really optimize your nutritional routine because, again, you're always taking in that mindset to say, what can I do to improve just a little bit more as I'm fueling and getting my body prepared for, you know, that day and the next day. The Kaizen mantra will also give you awesome results with your recovery sessions because it'll make you think, how can I continuously improve with my recovery when you're going from one training session to the next? And I think the thing that I'd like to close with is really when I reflect and think about the Kaizen mantra, when you actually model what it means of that continuous improvement in all aspects of your life, it's really going to inspire someone else to improve something that they're doing. They might not have the confidence, or they might not be thinking that, hey, you know, I'm just kind of plateauing out, but this will definitely give them time to reflect, inspire them to do bigger and better things. In closing, thank you so much. I want to wish everyone the very, very, very best in your upcoming training seasons. I'm looking forward to continuing to watch everyone learn and grow and do great things.
I always like it when I have something in common with Kurt Madden, the Harley household. We also like Trader Joe's. We do a majority of our grocery shopping at Central Market here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but then we very, very often swing by Trader Joe's for a few little items as well to kind of go in the pantry. Kurt teaching us about Kaizen. I had not heard of this term before that Trader Joe's and Kurt have dear to their hearts, continuously improving in small sequential steps. Vanessa, what'd you think?
I think that I need to have a Trader Joe's to go to because that sounds like a wonderful business model. There are no Trader Joe's here in Australia, and there are no Trader Joe's in Calgary where I live, but it sounds like a really amazing place to shop, that's for sure. But I think that this, what Kurt has said, is really a really important tip to be able to execute. And that is to look at these small improvements that we get on a day-to-day basis. And they may be so small that we don't even recognize that we've had an improvement.
Yeah.
So I think that is super important to look at the big picture and maybe look at things maybe month by month as opposed to each session. And I can say for sure what he's saying about how when people share that they've had these bouts of, you know, a training plateau or something like that, and they share that they've overcome it, I find that is 100% exemplified, and it occurs all of the time on that I Am Tri-Dot page. And it is so wonderful to be able to go there and to read what someone has said about, hey, I haven't improved in my swim for a year, and now all of a sudden I'm dropping seconds like there's no tomorrow. And to see those kinds of posts is just so uplifting, and it makes you feel like, okay, if I'm there too, then I can definitely get myself to where this person is and seeing these improvements. And it's just so valuable to have that community support aspect of the Tri-Dot page, and to reignite your passion about, you know, using each training session as one of those small little steps to eventually realizing your bigger goals. So I think that this is a really great training tip, and it does take time. You know, like, we're in an endurance sport, and so to see improvements, it takes time to see those improvements. They're not going to happen right away necessarily. And I know for myself, I like to see big improvements all the time. And so when I don't see those big improvements, sometimes it's a little bit disheartening, but it's really important to take a step back, you know, and just see those small improvements, and that consistency is where things and the magic actually happens.
No, that's so true. And as Kurt was talking, I was thinking too, in the cycling world, we talk about marginal gains, right? And marginal gains is kind of the concept of a lot of small improvements to your bike setup can make a big difference on race day. And so you buy a more aero set of front brakes, and that saves you 3 watts, and you use a wax lubricant instead of an oil lubricant, and that saves you 5 watts, and you use latex inner tubes instead of butyl inner tubes, and that saves you 3 watts per wheel. And all of a sudden, you know, three small purchases that make you just a pinch faster add up to 20 watts on the bike. And it's this concept of marginal gains. And in the bike world, with aerodynamics and with watt savings, we can quantify it. It's a lot harder to quantify taking small sequential steps in your training or in your recovery or in your nutrition. And it's hard to quantify how those actually save you time on race day. But Coach Kurt's exactly right. We know that if we make a lot of small improvements over time, we're definitely going to see improvement as athletes and as people. Moving on to our next tip. This is tip number 5. I want to introduce the podcast audience to Coach Jen Reinhart. Jen is a multi-sport legend in the Austin, Texas area and has been coaching athletes for over 40 years. She's often a top-ranked Ironman athlete for her age group and is a 7-time Kona finisher. She's been coaching with TriDot since 2017.
Hi, TriDot athletes. Coach Jen here with how I make those Zone 2 easy rides more interesting on the trainer. With winter approaching, we're all doing most of our riding inside now. First thing is, if you ride a different bike on your indoor trainer than you race on outside, make sure those setups are as close as possible so that you're in the correct position riding inside. On Zone 2 rides, I really like to play with my heart rate zones to see how much cadence and moving around position affect my heart rate. It's surprising that when I sit up to take a drink, I can see my heart rate go up by as much as 5 beats. Also like to see how quickly I can recover my heart rate back down to midpoint when it starts to rise up. So taking watts off, taking watts on. On a good day, I'll be able to increase those watts even above my Zone 2 watts since I'm being graded on heart rate. And on bad days, well, I just dial it back, spin out my legs, get a good recovery session in. If you're moving around a lot on your bike and you're not able to stay in aero, that's a lot of wasted watts. So now's a good time to be making sure that your fit is proper. As I age, I know my flexibility has changed and I've got to change my position with that, lose a little bit of the high-end aero to make it more comfortable so that I'm moving around less. Hope that helps out some. Enjoy your training. Look forward to talking to some of you at some point.
Jeff Rains, I know you worked with Jen Reinhart at Austin Aquatics in Austin, Texas for a number of years and have a close relationship with her. I've enjoyed getting to know Jen these last couple of years at certain different TriDot functions. What'd you think of Coach Jen and her tips on making the indoor Zone 2 rides more interesting?
Coach Jen is awesome. I worked with her for a number of years in Austin, side by side. She's my coach. I'm her coach currently. So we're in constant communication. We're buddies, and when she has something to say, I definitely am at attention and listen up. but I love this wisdom, and I use this, and we say be intentional during workouts and stuff like that. But I even kind of encourage my athletes to have a workout within the workout. You're like, okay, what? And that can be a number of things, and you can look at it a number of ways, but being intentional. Yeah, you can Zone 2, automate the workout in erg mode, download it, just don't stop pedaling for an hour. You get 100 Trainix score, great, right? But being intentional or having a workout within the workout, pick one or two things, like Jen said, like the night before, you're laying out your gear, you're getting ready for tomorrow. Maybe you're going to download that workout into a Zwift or whatever. But pick two things. Maybe you're going to play around with, well, maybe I want to go upper Zone 2 and I want to go, you know, low cadence and just see what my heart rate does. Maybe I want to go low Zone 2, almost Zone 1 and go high cadence and see what my heart rate does. Because even on race day, you know, pushing your goal watts or the watts you're supposed to hit, if your cadence is 20 RPMs too high or 20 RPMs too low, let's say, your heart rate's going to respond different. There's a cadence game that you can play. Before, just clicking a bunch of gears easier if your heart rate's high and losing 3 miles per hour or whatever, we could play that cadence game, right? Maybe you click a gear harder, but you drop the cadence by 8, and now you're spinning your legs less as fast, and maybe the heart rate settles a little bit. I mean, that's just an example, and there's right and wrong ways to do that. But I love Coach Jen's response and kind of having a workout or a purpose inside of that workout and being intentional during it makes time go by better, but also makes you a better athlete.
I think Jen is totally amazing. I had the opportunity to meet
her. She's so cool.
I know, she's just the greatest. Every time she opens her mouth, something amazing comes out in terms of, and it always turns into like a triathlon conversation, and there's always these pearls of wisdom that she shares. And I had the opportunity to meet her at the Ambassador Camp last year, and I remember sitting near her on one of the buses that we took or something, and I was just like, she was like feeding me all of this knowledge, and it was just so great. So hearing her say this about the Zone 2 rides, it really resonates with me because I'm not one of those people that listens or to music or watches anything while I'm doing any kind of workout because I like to be present and intentional. But it's funny because I often don't know what to be intentional about. So
yeah,
hearing what she had to say in terms of what to think about when you're riding, that's going to be really valuable. And like you said, I'm going to be choosing one of those things, you know, every week to focus on during that Zone 2 session, because I think it's important to notice in particular, like what cadence your body is going to perform best at, because not everyone yeah. is going to have that low yeah. heart rate at 90 RPMs versus 80 RPMs versus 78 RPMs, you know? And so I think that it's important for us to utilize that time to figure that out. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Like, this week on my Zone 2 ride, I have one today. So I'm going to,
nice.
Yeah, I'm going to actually start thinking about like, oh, watch your heart rate when you do this with your cadence. It's like a little game. You can turn it into a game and then you don't need to be entertained.
The workout within the workout, yeah. as Coach Jeff says. let's go back to back Texas coaches here from Coach Jen in Austin to Coach Kyle Stone in Houston. Kyle came on the show for episode 161 after finishing his very first Ironman World Championships in Kona. Qualifying as a legacy athlete, he has just incredible race day experience and has been coaching with TriDot since 2021.
One of the tips I like to give my athletes has to do with race day, and it's one along the lines of just eliminating some of the headaches or things that may go wrong just to make your day that more stressful. And that is, I like to use Ziploc baggies that have the zipper top. And I will have my nutrition or my medicine for my bike. I will have that in that zipper top baggie. And that way I can access it really easily without even looking. I can get the baggie out. I can feel where the zipper top is, unzip it, look down quickly, see I need to grab something out, get it out, and slide the zipper top back over. And there's no fumbling around trying to get the baggie back closed. There's no chance that if I went to go put it back in my pocket behind my tri-suit, that the baggie would be open and things would fall out. And it makes it a lot less stressful for me having to worry about that. In addition, I'll always put another baggie inside of it. And that's in case I get hot during the race. I can always stop at an aid station, put some ice inside that bag, zip it up real easy. I don't have to look at it. I don't have to worry about it. Then I can put that baggie, if I'm on the run, I can put it on top of my head under my hat. In my case, I have a bad back, so I will put that baggie where it's resting right on my back. And as the water melts, I can let it out and pour it on my head because I've got it ziplocked in the baggie, or I can just let it out. So that tip right there has helped me out quite a bit, and I hope that this helps you out.
So a real tangible kind of how to store your stuff while you're training and racing tip from Coach Kyle Stone here. He's spent a lot of time out on the race course and has really learned how to optimize his getting in and out of his gear bags and pockets. Vanessa, what'd you think?
I think that is absolutely brilliant. That is just mind-blowing because I remember in my first half Ironman, I was doing my cooling protocol. It was a really hot day, like unusually hot for the weather of the time of year that we were racing in. And so I was, you know, completing my cooling protocol, but I was just stuffing ice everywhere. And so I was getting soaked. I was like, my tri shorts were soaked, my socks got soaked, and I had never practiced that aspect. And so I ended up with blisters on my feet, and I never get blisters. And so having this baggie is just like mind-blowingly brilliant. And I really love that tip. And I wouldn't have thought about the zipper top baggies compared to just the Ziploc.
Me either. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a really, that saves you time. So awesome. I love this tip.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to throw a little twist to this, keep it short and sweet. I use the Ziploc bag thing also, but another way to use it, is what I do, especially as I'm kind of like a few months out from a big race, what I do is I put all my race day nutrition that I'm going to have that day, a month or two out, in that bag. I close it, I write on it, I label it, Jeff's nutrition up, this is my wife's nutrition for hers, because we have that big basket or bowl of all of our gels and goos and salt pills. And it's like, well, when do I need to buy more? You're like, oh no, it's a week and a half from my Ironman. I need to buy some more. Oh, they're sold out of my favorite flavor. And so what I do is I kind of work backwards, right? Here's what I need on race day. Here's what I have left to use in my training. And then now I know when I need to go in and buy new stuff. But also I have the race day stuff right then and there. It's ready. It's set aside. It's in the bag. It's labeled. And so I know race day is good. So just another way to use that fun Ziploc bag.
Absolutely good ad there. Let's get out of Texas and head over to South Africa, where TriDot coach Luis Strydom leads an amazing network of coaches and athletes through Infinitude Coaching. Coach Luis is a multi-time Ironman finisher who's been coaching with TriDot since 2019.
Hey everyone, Coach Luis from South Africa. My next level coaching nugget would be to always remember that training, no matter if it is for half marathon, a marathon, full Ironman, 70.3 distance, sprint triathlon, 1.5K swim, that the training is always much, much harder than the race. So remember that whatever you are suffering through training, it all is going to be so much easier when you eventually get to your race. So remember that when sessions are long, when sessions are hard, when you're struggling on the trainer, for that 5 or 6 hours and everything hurts on that super long run, or even if you just get off the couch and you do your first 2K run, everything is going to hurt. But remember, just always, always remember that training is the hardest part of the whole process. Getting to the race, that's just the cherry on top.
Love this from Coach Luis. Jeff, what'd you think?
I mean, I was immediately thrown to kind of the famous triathlon response. You know, you've got to enjoy the journey, right? It's not always about the destination. You have to enjoy the each and every day. But then it's like, well, what Luis was saying was that, well, training is harder. It's harder to enjoy every day. It's hard now. It's going to be easy later. But basically, you know, the way I look at it is that, you know, you have to take the positives, right? Like if you did a race rehearsal, let's just say, you know, we do them 2 and 4 weeks out largely, right? And, you know, if you're 4 weeks out and that, you know, rehearsal just didn't go very well, well, you have another one. Or, hey, it's super, super windy. There's no way it's going to be that windy on the bike ride in my Ironman, you know, then you know what? You just did it. You did it. And you did it in harder conditions than what it's going to be on race day. So, you know, you've got to take the positives out there. And for me, and especially my athletes, I want 100% peace of mind. You know, if you're ankle deep standing in the sand, you know, right before the swim start of your very first Ironman, and you're going to think back, oh, I never rode more than 80 miles or whatever, right? Whatever that is, we're going to find a way to get that negative birdie out of there, right? We're going to find those positives and we're going to work together. And so that you have 100% peace of mind. And so when training is hard, you know, I love that mindset of, you know what, it's, we're putting in the work now, so race day is going to be easier. But inside of that, you know, on those hard days when it was harder, let's take the positive out of it and use that to encourage and motivate us going forward.
Yeah, I just love the way Luis said this, and it makes me think to my Ironman journey. I mean, when I've said on the podcast before, I've said in conversations with you guys and with athletes that my mentality with Ironman is that I wanted to be one and done. And I'm not going to rule out not doing another one. I mean, famously, we joked about it earlier on this podcast. I might do another one day. I don't have any hard plans to do so at the moment. But when I tell people that I'm one and done with Ironman, it's not because of the race day. I would do the race itself all over again. The race was fun. It was a blast. It was hard, but it was the training, the months with the long sessions, the bike. The Saturday bike rides going from 2.5 hours to 3 hours to 3.5 to 4 to 4.5 to 5.5. I mean, that was the part that I don't want to do again. And it's exactly because of what Luis is saying. That's the hard part. The race, like she said, is the cherry on top. The race is the celebration of the fitness that you've earned over the last couple of months. And to me, you go in the race day with the fitness that you have, and whatever happens, happens. But that's the fun part. That's the culmination of this fitness journey that you've been on. So I really liked this. This is tip number 8 from Heather Del Cobb. She is a TriDot coach since 2018 from Terrell, Texas. Formerly, she was from the much colder state of Alaska. Heather is a former state champion swimmer and an experienced triathlete. She's now a Tridot pool school coach on deck at many Tridot pool schools. Here is her next level tip.
Hi, Coach Heather here. My tidbit for the day is stretching. Everybody hates to stretch after a long workout. Our mindsets are, well, I'm done with my workout, so I really don't feel like stretching. But stretching is very important. So here's my tidbit. Every time that you take your shower, get in the shower, wash your hair, wash your body, or do all the things that you normally do in the shower. At the end of the shower, stretch for 2 minutes. Do two or three stretching exercises. There's three that I recommend highly. One, you place your toe on the edge of the tub or shower wall and stretch your calf. Stretching your calf will help you prevent plantar fasciitis and keep the blood flowing. Hold onto the walls and do the number four stretch. Also, hang at the waist and stretch your glutes. The hot water from your shower will keep the muscles nice and warm and get you a nice, good, deep stretch. It's only 2 minutes of shower stretching, will help prevent injuries and keep your muscles loose. If you do it at night before you go to bed, it'll help you get into REM sleep faster because of all the fresh oxygenated blood that will go to your brain and help you in your recovery time during your sleep. So, every day, take your shower and do a couple of stretches for 2 minutes in your shower will really help your training. Have a great training session.
It's really noticeable to me how many of our 10 coaches, when given the opportunity to present a next level tip, have talked in some form about stretching, mobility, recovery. It just really reinforces how important that is. I'm sure it's things that they are talking to their athletes about constantly. So here they are talking to us about it. Vanessa, what did you think about Heather's tip to stretch in the shower?
I love it. I love being in the shower. It's like this warm, wonderful place where, you know, you're alone. If you have young kids, sometimes you don't get alone time very often. So being in the shower is like really wonderful. So what a way to make it even more productive, you know? I think that it's great, a great idea. I like to minimize my use of water. So I will probably try and wash my hair while I'm stretching. just really stacking
the productivity.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to make my showers the most productive as possible. And I didn't realize that there's an impact of stretching before bed and on sleep quality. I've been really interested in quality of sleep lately. And so knowing that, you know, getting that oxygen flowing before bed is probably a really great thing to implement. So yeah, great tip.
I think that if Matt Bach can talk about the potty episode of being in a sponge mid-race, that we can stretch in the shower, Heather. Yes, you are fine there. I love it. I heard someone talk about like flossing. How do you floss every day? How do you make yourself do it? Well, I kind of do two birds with one stone. I floss in the shower. I keep floss, you know, little floss sticks in the shower. So anytime I shower, I floss. And I also, it's funny because I've heard Heather say this before. And when I floss in the shower, I stretch, I bend over, I do my hamstrings, you know, whatever. And so I've heard her say that I do it. You know, you don't want to stretch a cold muscle. You don't just wake up in the morning, start stretching. And so your muscles are already heated up. You're kind of in that sauna-esque, you know, it's the perfect time to do it. I love it.
Next level try coaching tip number 9. This is from Jason Verbracken, longtime Tridot athlete and a Tridot coach as of 2021. Coach Verby specializes in long course and ultra racing, and he has a bike FTP that can just make a grown man openly weep. He's joined the podcast before on episodes 132 talking about Ultraman and episode 96 talking about extreme triathlon. Here is Coach Verby's next level tip.
Hey, Andrew. Coach Verby here giving you my tip. So Coach Verby's tip is do the stuff you suck at. Do you ever wonder where your weak points come from? They're born from your strengths, overriding the rest of your skills, and you avoiding doing the stuff you hate. And we all do it. Why would we want to do something we hate? We're not getting any pleasure from it. We feel like we're not good at it. So let's just concentrate on the things that make us feel good and still get us into good shape. But our weak points are caused by us avoiding that, avoiding all the things that we hate. And that's the difference between a competitive athlete and athletes that are just working out. The competitive athlete's really going to focus on those things they're struggling on and get better at it and become a better athlete. Because we can always go out and get in better shape by doing the things we like to do. But to excel at the sport, we really have to master the things that we hate. Let it be swimming, biking, running, core work, stretching, all those things. There's something all of us hate. Take it. I've heard it 100 times. I just do the basics for swimming because that's the shortest part of a triathlon. So they don't focus on it because they're not good at it. But spending that little extra time, you know, getting a swim stroke analyzed, going to Tri-Dot pool school, you know, getting a coach and working on that extra swim is going to make you start enjoying it more and make you faster. So my main thing is really focusing on the stuff you hate, and it's going to make you an all-around better athlete.
So Coach Verbey really calling us out here, and I'm sure as he was talking, most of us probably had something in mind as he was talking that you're like, yep, I really avoid my run warm-up drills, or I avoid the swim drills, or I avoid the stretching and mobility work that we've talked about on this episode already. Coach Verbey really reminding us that, hey, you need to do that part too. You need to improve in that way as well. Coach Jeff, what'd you think here?
You know, you said, hey, everyone's thinking about that one thing. You know, I was thinking of assessments. And, you know, let's just say, hypothetically, we were supposed to have maybe 9 swims, 9 bikes, 9 run assessments last year, let's just say, in 2022. You know, and you could look at it twofold. I sometimes skip what I'm better at, which is, let's just say, for me, I like running the best. And so maybe I should have had 9, you know, 5K assessments, you know, and I actually, you know, I looked back recently and, you know, if I should have had 9, you know, maybe I only had 6 or 7. And so I skipped a few here and there. And, you know, just because you're good at it, you say, oh, okay, it's probably about the same. I'm not going to test this month. Or you can look at it like Verbey said, hey, you know, like, and for me, it's biking. Like I, you know, it's not my weakest discipline, but I just don't like, I would rather do a 5K or the 200, 400 assessment swimming than the 20-minute bike test, you know? And for me, that's my least favorite. But, you know, I like the swim, you know, analogy. A lot of triathletes, the weakest is the swim. In the winter right now, the hardest thing to do is get up at 5 a.m., you know, get out in the cold, get in your car, drive to the pool and jump in cold water, right? But every single time we get up and we do those things we don't like or we're not good at, on that drive home, we are always glad we did it, and we never regret when we do it. And so I think there's an accountability piece that we need. Do the things you're not good at, but have the accountability so that you actually do them.
Jeff, you said at the top of the main set you wanted to get uncomfortable today, and this tip from Verbey, I think, does that for all of us. It makes us a little uncomfortable staring ourselves in the mirror and saying, what are those things that I just don't do like I should, because it's not as fun for me as the things that I like to do. Vanessa, what came to mind for you listening to Verbey?
Yeah, I got uncomfortable. I got uncomfortable because I felt like he was talking to me personally.
I'm sweating
right?
A little.
I felt like he was talking to me personally because I am so guilty. I am so guilty of never doing my strides in my run workouts, and I hate them. I hate them with a passion. So obviously, it's something that I need to improve on. So I'm definitely going to be hearing that little tiny Verbey in my head every time I go for a run. And if I skip my strides, he's just going to be there saying, you got to do it. You have to do it because you hate it. And you're going to be, you know, proud of yourself after you're finished, obviously. But yeah, no, I agree. I've heard that before, that the things that you struggle with the most are the things that you actually need the most. So I even take this out of the sport completely. And I struggled big time with the idea of meditating, and I knew it was something that I really needed. And, And so I made a point of implementing it on a regular basis, and it's made such a huge difference. It's really, really hard. But it's made a really big difference in my sleep quality, and, you know, my HRV status has increased, and it's been really great. So I agree 100%.
So tip number 10, this is last but not least, I invited TriDot coach and legendary Ironman champion Mark Allen to send us a next level tip, and Mark was happy to oblige. The Mark Allen edition of TriDot launched in 2021, where you can have Mark as your coach walking you through all the TriDot drills and the workouts. Plus, you'll hear all sorts of next level coaching tips from Mark. There's a fresh video that pops up every single week with Mark giving you a training tip. And some sort of motivational quote for the week. It's a ton of fun. I'm on the Mark Allen edition of TriDot and really enjoying just connecting with Mark every single week. So we're going to let Mark close out our main set today. Vanessa and I will see all you cool kids on the cool down shortly. But here's TriDot coach Mark Allen with his next level tri coaching tip, tip number 10.
One of the things you want to do as an athlete is to, especially if you're running, is to develop capillary beds in your legs so that there's a lot of removal of stuff that you are metabolizing when you're training, when you're racing, and so that there's a lot more blood flow. And there's some ways to do it that probably nobody really talks about. One of them is to focus on the length of the longer runs that you do. There's a lot of research that shows that once you run over about 50 minutes, you start to lay down a lot more capillary beds, which then feed those muscles and also get rid of stuff that you don't want in there when you're working out or when you're racing or training. So if you're thinking, should I run 50 minutes or should I run an hour? Just those extra 10 minutes, that can be huge as far as helping lay down new capillary beds in your legs so that you have more flow of everything that you need when you're out there exercising, training, or racing. Another thing that will help you to develop that ability to sort of flush things out and to be able to be more efficient as an athlete in your legs is to just do some walking. Walking has just this impact on our bodies that helps us, again, to develop capillary beds. It also develops very small motor control muscles that give you a lot more strength that you just don't activate when you're actually out there running. So you're thinking, well, do I have to walk all the time? No, you do your run workouts, but then maybe later in the day after dinner, you know, when you're relaxing, just go for 10-minute walk, 15-minute walk, 20-minute walk a couple times a week. And that will also really help develop a lot of things that you need to be super efficient as an athlete, as a runner. There you go. Tips from Mark Allen.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
Our regular audience has probably gotten used to hearing Vanessa host the cool downs already, but today we have Vanessa and I both on the cool down for somewhat of a TriDot podcast cool down update. We have loved the main set today. It was such a reminder that the roster of TriDot coaches is deep, their personalities are plentiful, and their triathlon knowledge is sharp. So as we head into 2023 and beyond, Vanessa will still be hosting our cooldowns, and each time she will have a new TriDot coach joining her to close out each show with a tri training tip. Vanessa, you and I had already talked about doing this and kind of featuring some more of our coaches like this before we even recorded today's podcast. Did today's main set really make you even more excited to hear from more coaches on the cooldowns?
It absolutely did, Andrew. Since I crossed my first triathlon finish line, I have been obsessed with everything tri-related. From the books
that
I
happens,
read.
Yeah.
I know, right? So yeah, my books, all the books that I have on my nightstand, the podcasts that I listen to, and pretty much every conversation that I have turns into a triathlon-focused one, of course. So hearing these tips simply adds to my thirst for more triathlon knowledge in my life. And I think that tips like the ones that we've just heard will provide an even greater depth of knowledge for training
Absolutely.
And racing. doing all of that with more knowledge and being smarter about it, and I can't wait to implement them. But I do think that I will have to keep a spreadsheet, so I don't know if I'll be able to remember them all without a spreadsheet. And I know how much you like to color code, so if you want to color code that, go for it.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. I think in color blocks for sure. You see my podcast formats, what they look like. But so the cooldowns, Vanessa will always welcome you to the cooldown. She will introduce which TriDot coach we have on the cooldown today. That coach will then give just a 1-2-3 minute practical triathlon related tip. That coach and Vanessa will chit chat about it for just a moment, and then we'll shut the show down. So Vanessa, I do want to say, the interviews with TriDot athletes that you've been doing have been really, really interesting. In my original vision for this podcast, I always wanted ways to highlight the stories of athletes in the TriDot family. And your cooldown interviews have been so good at doing that. So I do want everyone to know that we will still be doing that in some capacity throughout the year. We will have some episodes of the show, but both our podcast and our TriDot Triathlon YouTube show, where instead of just hearing me yammer on with our coaches about tri topics, you will hear Vanessa talk with a TriDot athlete about their tri journey. So Vanessa, just from the interviews that you've done so far, what has maybe stood out to you from those conversations?
Well, so far, the cool down experience has been amazing. I have loved every single minute that I have spent with all the athletes that I've interviewed. And I think what stands out to me the most is that each person is on such a powerful journey in their sport, and their dedication to making their lives better in some way and using triathlon as a vehicle for that really, really resonates with me. I also absolutely love that TriDot has brought all of us together from such different backgrounds from all over the world.
Yeah, so true.
And we are really united through this platform to become each other's cheerleaders. So it is really ridiculously special, and I am truly honored to be a part of it all.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.